Imagine knowing almost nothing about some of your family members, other than they were famous the world over. Imagine as a young girl collecting every story you could find about these mysterious family members. Ginger Shankar's mother died at 35 when Ginger was just 9 years old, and she set out to find out how her mother and grandmother's lives as women in India were different from her own. Ginger was a musician, so were her mother elders, VG and grandmother Lakshmi. She learned quite a lot from interviews and photographs from performances of her mother and grandmother. Now imagine if you had a special voice to tell people these stories of your family. Well, don't mistake this sound for a track from some hip lounge. This is the Shankar Family Story, a multimedia piece called Nari. Ginger, you see, was born into a renowned musical household. Many people know her legendary great-uncle Ravi Shankar's immortal pieces and performances and for his collaborations with the Beatles. When it came to composing the score for Nari, Ginger's previous work writing for films, Charlie Wilson's War, Passions of the Christ, served her very well. Music and pictures, she says, go together.
To be inspired by images and write to that, first of all, is so different than anything I do. You know, usually you're just thinking of a song, but to see images, it takes your music in a very different way. And it becomes so exciting to sort of bring characters to life. But then the other side of that is, you know, you write the most beautiful piece you ever thought, and the director goes, "You just trampled all over my dialogue." And you go, "Oh my God, there was dialogue?"
You know? Yeah, where's the cowbell?
Exactly. Yes. So you realize that you also have to like give space to what's happening.
Yeah. Well, collaboration.
Exactly.
Is collaboration a part of this family project?
It definitely has been a collaboration. I think it started with my grandmother giving me these scrapbooks and starting to dig into history. And the collaboration started with me being in India and just starting to interview people and hearing the stories. But then it became much bigger than that, because as I started performing it, and I told people I didn't have pictures of my mother, I didn't have pictures of my grandmother from certain eras, people that come to shows would come up to me after and say, you know, "Hey, I saw them in 1974 in Toronto at the stadium, and I have pictures that I'm going to send you." Or, "Oh my goodness, I saw them here, and here's some video." And it started as a family scrapbook for my own self, you know, but it's been the most collaborative, beautiful project, because people remember these shows that well. Mm-hmm. And they have had all this film sitting somewhere, you know.
Well, that's the technological piece of what you're doing that intrigued me. And it seems to me that so many people post-partition mm-hmm. have used technology from India or Pakistan to preserve a life that came before, whether it's pictures, sound. I mean, I know so many people from South Asia who have kept recordings and have old reels or reel tapes and this dorky stuff, but they love it. And, you know, where it's much more of a geeky thing in the United States, it feels intuitive as you think about preserving history.
Absolutely. Some of the earliest recordings of incredible Indian musicians that I wanted to study are all on cassette tapes when they went to people's houses. Even on this project, one of my really good friends who I grew up with, his parents met my parents, I think, in the 70s, and they used to go to all these concerts. So they used to have cassette tapes running when they would sit and have tea. So I've heard recordings of my mother sitting and having tea and talking, which I'd never heard before. And they have recordings of them playing at Santa Monica Pier. It's just such a constant thing of these recordings, and there is such a history because of that. And we're so lucky to have that. Nowadays, you'd think about it and go, "Whoa, that's weird that somebody's recording you." But it was always that of like, in case somebody starts singing, in case somebody gives a lesson, and all the stuff is recorded in somebody's living room somewhere. It's really amazing.
What stories have you heard from your family that have kind of shocked you? Have you done any oral history on this?
I've done quite a bit, actually. My grandmother's sister, who's still alive, who's in Madras, I asked her a lot of questions, because the family doesn't talk about certain personal things really openly with us children. But it was really interesting to hear a lot of her stories were about how she traveled with Raviji and Alaraka when they first were bringing Indian music after Woodstock to all these different places, you know. And she told a story about how they were in Brazil for the first time about to play an Indian classical concert. And they were at this really crappy hotel, and they're carrying all their heavy sitar and tambura and tabla. And they realize, you know, the room is like 25 floors up with no elevator, you know, and you go, "Oh my God," just thinking about the idea of being in a new place. And then you go, "Oh God, I have to carry everything upstairs," you know. And she had 100 stories like that. I'm sort of an annoying child. I always was. My grandmother complained that I used to ask her so many questions. And she'd always pawn me off to the next relative being like, go ask them something. So over the years, I've recorded so much of her history and my family's history. And that's sort of how this happened, too, because I'm such a curious, curious kid. I always have been.
Is this the Shankar narrative that is most important here, or is this a symbol of what all families may have using these tools that you've used?
I think the symbol for this really is the women in families and sort of how women in general take care of families, they build families, and they kind of fall into the shadows. I think everyone has a mother or a grandmother or a great-grandmother that can kind of really relate to this, you know, that they are the silent ones that really push families forward and take care of everybody.
Are there pieces you have yet to climb on the violin? Anything you'd love to do with your band that, you know, expands even the ambitions that you've already experienced?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the projects I always choose are the ones that really scare me. And that's how I know I'm doing the right thing. If I go, oh, this could be easier. Oh, my God, how am I going to do that? That's the one. So there are some really classical pieces I'd like to do with the band after this project is done and kind of like bring Indian music in a different way to the forefront, because we've been doing kind of more Western classical meets Indian with strings and electronics. But I would like to do like a full-on Indian classical album with classical guitar and violin and pick some really difficult pieces to do.
You know, what do you think the coming together of all of these sounds? I mean, world music was a bin at Virgin Records, you know, for so long. But now it's something different. What do you think it is?
It's interesting because in India, the bad word wasn't world music, it was fusion. Everyone was doing fusion, you know? And now I think what's really beautiful about that term, because we all kind of shrunk away from it for a long time going, oh, God, don't call us that, you know, because you just think it's like African thrown on top of Indian with some beats. And like that was world music for about 20 years. But I think now what's really beautiful is people are so authentic with where they're coming from. And the world is a melting pot. So it's not I'm doing Indian music and you're doing Western. Like people are actually learning each other's music. And it's a very different way, you know, because even my music director, for example, is of an Indian background, but has studied Western classical music and studied jazz. And you can hear the influence of those things without forcing it, which is really beautiful.
Ginger Shankar is a singer, violinist, multi-instrumentalist, and composer. Her latest work is Nari, the unsung story of the women from India's first family of music. It's a multimedia project. Ginger Shankar talks about women building families all over the world, and that's certainly true. We've also been talking about women in male-dominated industries, like Marcia Nassiter, the woman who first took the title of VP of production at a major Hollywood studio. What's your story?
This is Bailey from Allen, Texas. So I didn't work in a male-dominated industry, but in high school I was in ROTC, which was definitely a male-dominated environment and made a lot of interesting experiences. We, as like the females in ROTC, faced overwhelming sexism and discrimination sometimes in everything from workouts to assignments. And a lot of people in my class knew I was a feminist and constantly taunted or made fun or made cracks and jokes at me.
Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. And thanks, as always, for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples. Staples offers copy and print solutions for businesses, including color copies, presentations, and promotional products. More at Staples stores or at staples.com. Staples, it's pro time.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.